This Janet Meffer Today podcast is sponsored by Preborn. We want to save 300 babies' lives by giving their moms free ultrasounds, and you can help. Your gift of $140 will give free ultrasounds to five young women. Please help by calling 855-601-BABY. That's 855-601-2229, or go to preborn.com.
This is Janet Meffer Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Meffer.
Thank you so much for joining us again. In Matthew chapter 19, some Pharisees, as you'll recall, come to the Lord Jesus Christ in order to test him. And they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? And the Lord says, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made the male and female? For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And we know this passage very well. A lot of us heard it recited at our weddings. But in our day and age, we have entirely too much divorce, as I think we would all agree. We have too many remarriages in some cases, and a whole lot of misunderstanding about marriage in the first place as God created it. How should we understand all of these matters from a biblical perspective? We're going to tackle it today with Jim Neuheiser, who is director of the Christian Counseling Program and associate professor of practical theology at Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte. And today we'll be talking about his book, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage: Critical Questions and Answers. Jim, it's great to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I think this is a very needed resource. I think there are a lot of people who are confused about what to think, especially on some of these issues like divorce and remarriage. But I like how you start off your book with a definition of marriage. Now, you wouldn't hope that we would have to be in the conundrum we're in where we had to actually define it biblically. But what do you think people need to understand about marriage as God designed it?
Well, first of all, you're right in the question that marriage is not just a sociological invention, that God created marriage. He established it with the first man and the first woman, and he defined one man, one woman, making a covenant together. That covenant is resembling his relationship with his people, and it's his design that nothing but death would separate that covenant promise of marriage.
Right. Yeah, and why is this important, do you think, for Christians to get past this notion that it's just a social contract as the government recognizes it, and therefore these days you can create any sort of social contract and call it marriage? At least we've redefined it once. Who knows what will happen down the line? But what about marriage merely as a social contract? Why is it important to understand that it's not merely that?
Well, like you said, when it becomes a social contract, then it puts it under the authority of man, be that of governments or individuals or courts, and that authority was never given to humankind. God himself established marriage. He defines it. He regulates it. And governments, to the extent they're regulating marriage, are under his authority.
Right.
And when they defy his authority, they displease him, they dishonor him, and they also harm their citizens.
Yes. Now, we will have people, for example, go back and say, well, we saw polygamy in the Bible. We saw, you know, Solomon and all his wives, and we saw concubines and this sort of thing. And so how can you Christians say that marriage is only between one man and one woman? You say it's for the purpose of a family, but some married couples don't have children. How do you work through some of those issues when you are talking about the purpose of marriage?
Well, you begin by quoting Matthew 19, and when our Lord quotes when he quotes Genesis 2, he says the two shall become one flesh. And so it's one man and one woman has always been God's design for marriage. Now, because of the fall and because of sin, you have adultery and divorce and every other kind of sexual sin. And I would put polygamy into the same category. There have been times that just as God tolerated and regulated divorce but never approved of it, under the Old Covenant, there were times when he tolerated polygamy, but he never approved of polygamy.
Right, right. Because from the beginning, as you see, like you just said, Jesus was quoting from Genesis chapter 2. So all the way back to the beginning of creation, that was the design. So now when we talk about some of the issues related to modern day marriage, there are a lot of things that come up. One of the things that comes up a lot is this modern tendency toward people living together before they get married. Now, as a Christian, we say, obviously you need to get married before you come together as one flesh. How do you answer the question of cohabitation when we're in a culture that basically doesn't see anything wrong with it?
Well, I think that relates to all the questions you're asking, in that whether it be divorce or, you know, I guess there are cultures even today. I used to live in Saudi Arabia where polygamy was part of that culture.
Wow.
So are we going to follow what the Word of God says, which we believe both under His authority, therefore to receive His blessing, but also for our very best is to do things His way? And the right of the one flesh relationship, as you look at Genesis 2, you know, that when a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, it's only then that the two become one flesh. And in Hebrews, the author warns us that fornicators and adulterers God will judge, and fornication is having sex outside of marriage, even if you're not violating an existing marriage covenant.
Right, right.
And so you're violating God's design, and you never win when you go against what He said.
That's so true. But it seems when you look at some of the statistics now, we see very high levels of fornication even within the church. A lot of evangelicals who are professing evangelicals live with their boyfriends or girlfriends and don't see anything wrong with it as long as they, I believe in Jesus, so I can just live this way. Why do you think that is occurring? Is it a lack of attention to the text? Is it a lack of true conversion? What do you think maybe drives that idea?
I think there probably are many people who grow up in the church as kind of cultural Christians, especially in the South. And then as they come to young adulthood, there are choices they make in life that really demonstrate whether their hearts have been changed and they've been turned to the Lord.
Right.
This isn't a new problem. In the Old Testament, there was all kinds of, you know, they would turn to the idols of the nations. They would conform to the Canaanite culture around them. And so it is in our day. And you also see our young people, some of them are embracing homosexual marriage or homosexuality, and
right. It
were not to be conformed to the world, but there's this intense pressure. And throughout the ages, the external people of God have often related to whatever the culture was they were applying. And that's why she said we need to go to the Word of God and the text. You know, Jesus said that, you know, in the parable of the soils, there could be people who initially respond outwardly to the gospel, but the good seed will continue to bear fruit. And so I think what we found sometimes in our churches have been people who've made professions of faith, but then they had a choice whether they're going to follow the world or follow the Lord, and they followed the world.
Yeah.
I think it's also important that churches confront fornication. They confront professing Christians cohabiting and, if necessary, practice biblical church discipline, which we hope would be restorative. But if not restorative, at least it would be purifying.
Right.
Paul warns in 1 Corinthians 5 that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and as we tolerate fornication, cohabitation in the church, it's just going to get worse.
That's right. Yes, and this will tie in to what I want to tackle next when we talk about divorce. There seems to be somewhat of a reluctance on the part of some pastors, at least, maybe more than we would like, to tackle some of these subjects simply because they don't want to get the congregation mad at them. You know, oh, I know so-and-so is doing this, or so-and-so had this situation, and if I start, you know, talking about these very hard sexual issues, people in the congregation might be upset about it. What would you say to that mentality of a pastor who would neglect to address something that is clearly outlined in God's word about marriage or divorce, rather than preaching the word, to be afraid of what the people will do if he preaches the word?
Well, Paul, when he describes his ministry in Galatians 1, talks about he can't be pleasing many, he has to please God. And so as ministers of the word, our chief audience is the Lord. And if we know him and fear him, we're more concerned about pleasing him than keeping the people happy. And we'll never keep them happy anyway. So I think we're called to be faithful. And because we live in the culture we do, it is important that we stand up for what the scripture says. There are difficult, complicated situations. And part of decades of biblical counseling experience is you see situations where, you know, people are abandoned in marriage. There's adultery, there's pornography, there's abuse.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I know believers have different perspectives on exactly how to handle those situations, but I think we need to go wherever the Word of God takes us. We need to be humble and caring, but also firm, and not just let the church fall of the world in these areas.
That is very well said. And I want to get into some of the other great content in this book, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. Jim Neuheiser with us, and we'll be right back on Janet Meffer Today.
Here is today's Capitol Hill Brief with Concerned Women for America President Penny Nance.
Article 6 of the Constitution says that no religious test shall ever be applied as a condition for public service in the U.S. But Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont applied just such a test as he opposed Russell Vought to be the next deputy director of the Office of Management and Budget because of his Christian faith.
You wrote, Muslim, quote, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned. End of quote. Do you believe that that statement is Islamophobic?
And it got worse from there.
Should your Christian faith disqualify you from government service? Senator Bernie Sanders thinks so. He attacked one man for his biblical beliefs during a nomination hearing. Tell Senator Sanders to respect our constitutional rights at CapitolHillBrief.org. That's CapitolHillBrief.org. Isn't that a beautiful sound? That sonogram holds the sound of a baby's heartbeat. Hi, this is Janet Meffert, and I'd like to introduce you to the Ministry of Preborn. Preborn's mission is to provide free ultrasounds for young moms in pregnancy centers all around America for free, and they need your help. You can help Preborn save precious lives by sponsoring ultrasounds. Ultrasound is a game changer. By letting a mom hear her baby's heartbeat and see her baby in her womb, she will choose life 80% of the time. For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds. All gifts are tax deductible, and 100% of your gift goes to saving babies. You can save a baby's life right here in America by donating to Preborn. Join Janet Meffer today and let's save 300 babies this summer. Will you help us? 855-601-BABY is the number to call, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Please call 855-601-2229. That's 855-601-BABY. Welcome back to Janet Meffer Today. It's great to have you here. Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, Critical Questions and Answers is the book we're discussing with its author, Jim Neuheiser, who is director of the Christian Counseling Program and associate professor of practical theology at Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte. Jim, we were talking a little bit about marriage, what it is, God's purpose in it, and things like cohabitation, how the church should address it. Now, let's move a little bit into this part two, which is about divorce and remarriage. And this is where a lot of people will struggle a little bit and say, what are the boundaries? What should I think? Talk a little bit, if you would, about divorce, the foundations, you know, what about divorce? God says, I hate divorce, as we know. What does he really mean? How should we understand divorce and when it's necessary and why God hates it?
Well, that all comes up in Matthew 19 when Jesus is reaffirming that what God has joined, let no man separate. And he says it was because of the hardness of men's hearts that God regulated divorce under the old covenant.
Right.
The nature of divorce is divorce both ends a marriage and it also sets the parties free to remarry. And that's what you see pictured in Deuteronomy, mm-hmm. where you have a woman who's divorced and then she goes on to somebody else and can't go back to the first guy. And so that is what a divorce is by definition. But then the scripture regulates divorce, and you know, most of the reasons people get divorced would be for unbiblical reasons, which you've been concerned about. Jesus does teach in Matthew 19 and Matthew 5 and in the other Gospels as well, in my understanding, that in a case where there's been adultery, sexual sin of a serious nature, divorce, it's never mandated, but it may be allowed.
Right.
And, of course, we would always try to bring about repentance and restoration and forgiveness. But there are cases where that is impossible. So in the other case that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 7 is where you're abandoned by an unbeliever and that person leaves the marriage. So when Jesus says, what God has joined, let no man separate, he's saying, don't you be the one who breaks up this marriage. But as Romans 12:18 says, it's as far as is possible with you to be at peace with all men. If your spouse leaves the marriage and enters into a sexual relationship with someone else and won't turn away from that, or if your spouse just leaves you, leaves the home, abandons the relationship, you have not broken, separated what God has joined. They have done so. And my understanding would be in that case, as the innocent party, you would be free. And it's still tragic, but that's because of the hardness of men's hearts that sometimes divorce takes place.
Yes. Right. And we will hear those particular occasions for divorce, permissible occasions for divorce, which are abandonment, as you mentioned, and adultery, which is the breaking of the covenant. And is that why? Because some people will say, why are those the only two things that Scripture says are grounds for divorce? Is it tied to the covenant nature? That's why, because adultery breaks the covenant?
I think so. That, you know, it's such a serious violation, as the sexual relationship is the seal of the marriage relationship. And so it does not have to result in divorce, but it's such a serious violation of the marriage covenant that the innocent party has the right on those grounds to get a divorce. And, of course, that's why it should be such a warning to us to safeguard our marriages, and right, not just at the point of adultery, but flirtations and, you know, other aspects where we just want to put all kinds of protections around our marriage. Because if, you know, many people like David, King David, who were godly, fell into this kind of sin. And so what God has joined, let no man separate, doesn't mean just don't divorce or don't commit adultery, but guard your marriage both by protecting yourself from the first of 10 steps to unfaithfulness, but also guard your marriage by cultivating your own garden and caring for your spouse and building the closeness of that marriage.
Yeah, that's really good. Now, some people will say, it's kind of popular to hear people say these days, it's unrealistic. We live longer than they did back then, and you can't really stay married to the same person for 50 or 60 years. That's crazy. What about that? I think it's a ridiculous argument, but what would you say to somebody who actually believes that it's unrealistic to be in a monogamous relationship for your entire lifetime?
I think for someone who doesn't have the Spirit of God, it is extraordinary that they could.
Yeah,
by kind of a common grace commitment. And as the culture continues to deteriorate, I think that non-Christian marriages that last a lifetime are going to be more rare.
Yeah.
But we know what God's love is, and we love because He first loved us, and our love reflects His love for us. And so we know how to show grace and forgive and reconcile, and we have the fruit of the Spirit, and, you know, we have resources in Christ to enable us not just to survive our marriages until one of us dies, but actually, as our relationship with the Lord in that covenant relationship grows all of our lifetimes. And a Christian marriage is not just a matter of sticking with it till it's over, but it can actually flourish in all ways as the years go on. And I'm sure you know, and I know, of wonderful Christian marriages, and it's by the grace of God. It's because marriage was designed to reflect the gospel, and as the gospel is in that marriage, it can be wonderful. And I mean, one of the things that was so delightful for me about writing the book is that I've been married over 37 years to Caroline, and I've enjoyed these blessings and would like to have at least 37 more.
Oh, wonderful. I hope you do. That's great. Well, now let's talk a little bit, because one of the things that also has come up, especially in the church, is what if a woman is being abused? And maybe it could be a man, but most of the time you hear about, you know, the man is beating her and maybe abusing the children, or even a situation where a child is being abused. The daughter is maybe being sexually abused by the father. What would you say are the ground rules there? What can we delineate from Scripture about what to do in that situation?
Well, first of all, I would say that if a woman is being physically abused, actually I've had men being physically abused as well.
Right.
They need to be safe, and they have the right to be safe. And through the church, or if necessary, through the government, this person needs to be brought to a place of physical safety. And at that point, you know, ordinarily you would try to address the sin of the abuser, to bring them to repentance, to try to save the marriage relationship, but you would not send the abuse victim back until there's a high level of confidence there was safety. Chris Moles has a really good book about kind of counseling an abuser in the context of marriage. That might be something I would bring the abuser through. But I would say, I mean, that, and I think this is something many biblical counselors and biblical scholars have agreed upon, that an unrepentant pattern of abuse would ordinarily result in church discipline, which is effectively declaring someone an unbeliever if they claim to be a Christian originally. And I would say that a pattern of abuse could be constituted as abandoning the marriage and a complete unwillingness to let the other person live in peace and even physical safety. It's not a trigger I would want to push very quickly. I would want to do everything I could to bring help, but I think that the abused party has a right to safety.
Sure.
I'd like to comment about that just a moment more, because I think pendulum has swung in both directions in this area.
Right.
I think in the past there have been churches that have been guilty of sending women back who had been abused horribly, just saying if you were just sweeter, he would change. Hmm. And that is not always the case.
Sure.
There are some men who are just flat out evil and angry and wicked, and I think some Christians, maybe well-meaning, some Christian leaders well-meaning, have not done what the Scripture says in terms of in Psalms, Proverbs 31, of standing up for those who are weak and oppressed. And we should never send someone back to a dangerous situation. And we need to recognize there are cases where it may permanently end the relationship in spite of the best efforts of the innocent party. Now, there's been a pendulum swing the other way, where if there's any anger, any strong, harsh words, it's almost put in the same category. And I think we need to be very careful not to give up too quickly.
Yes.
We're all sinners married to sinners.
Yes.
And sinners are going to say and do things sometimes that I don't think should be constituted as fundamentally breaking the marriage covenant and giving up. And I've seen some cases lately where if there's any sinful words or actions, it's treated almost in the same way as if it was something that was violent.
Mm.
So I think we need to be very cautious, back to the command of Jesus, what God has joined, let no man separate. We don't want to encourage someone to give up when there's hope of restoring a relationship.
True. That's a really important thing to say. There really needs to be a lot of wisdom, and I agree with that. Now, on the topic of remarriage, and I know we only have a couple minutes left here, but what about those people who divorce unbiblically? They don't have biblical grounds for a divorce and remarry, because we see, you know, references to this, and that if you do that, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. What about that particular verse, and how should we understand
that? That's a great question. There's some people would say, well, you know, if you've sinfully divorced and sinfully remarried, they would say you're still married in God's eyes to the first person. But if you read carefully what Jesus says in Matthew 19, he says you are divorced and you have married.
Hmm.
And so I think the sin, you sinned by divorcing, you sinned by remarrying, but now you are divorced and you are remarried, and you can confess to God your sin of sinfully divorcing, you can confess to God your sin of sinfully remarrying, but don't compound the sin by divorcing again.
Yes, yes.
You can't go back.
Yes.
And so, and God forgives sin if you're truly repentant. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you've sinfully divorced and sinfully remarried, you're not still married to the first person. You're married to the second person. You're divorced from the first person. And you shouldn't be around that person too much, because you don't want to be tempted by them.
Mm-hmm.
You're committed to this new relationship. You really are divorced. You really are remarried. Don't do it again. You know, on the other hand, people who have sinfully divorced and haven't remarried, you know, they need to do everything they possibly can to restore that relationship that they sinfully broke. And I've seen cases of people who were apart even for years who, by God's grace, got back together.
Wow. That is neat. Yeah, I think that's very good advice, because you are compounding your sin if you divorce twice now to go back to the original one, and there can be other people involved now. And absolutely, the whole issue of repentance and God's grace needs to be part of the equation, too. Well, the name of the book, a really helpful resource, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, Critical Questions and Answers. Jim Neuheiser with us. Jim, it was great to have you. Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. Thank you very much, Janet.
God bless you. We'll be right back.
You too. Bye-bye.
This Janet Meffer Today podcast is sponsored by Preborn. We want to save 300 babies' lives by giving their moms free ultrasounds, and you can help. Your gift of $140 will give free ultrasounds to five young women. Please help by calling 855-601-BABY. That's 855-601-2229, or go to preborn.com. Welcome back to Janet Meffer Today. It is a remarkable fact that when expectant moms see their unborn babies via ultrasound, 80% of them choose life. And this is why we are really excited here at Janet Meffer Today about the great ministry of Preborn. Preborn partners with life-saving pregnancy centers across the country to provide free ultrasounds for young moms, not only to save lives, but also to help bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a really exciting ministry, and we're encouraging you to help get involved by calling 855-601-BABY. With a gift of $140, you'll be providing five free ultrasounds to young women who need to choose life. Just call 855-601-BABY. And here to tell us more about this wonderful ministry today is Dan Steiner. Dan is president of Preborn, and he is joining us now. So good to have you here, Dan. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Well, this is a real joy, Janet. I know your heart concerning the issue, the heart of your listeners concerning the issue, and most importantly, the heart of the Lord Jesus concerning this issue. And so what a delight that Janet Mefford and your program here is joining with Preborn to really try to do something about this issue. And the best thing to do is compassion. And so, yeah, it's one thing for us to, you know, be outraged and grieved by this horror of abortion in our country. But it's another thing to do something positive, life-giving, soul-saving, baby-saving like you're doing here and trying to do these ultrasounds. So this is really cool. We're just delighted.
It's cool for us too, Dan. We are really, really excited to be helping along. And I know that Preborn may be a new ministry to a lot of listeners. And maybe you could start out by telling us a little bit about the background of Preborn, how you got started with the ministry, and why you decided to launch it.
Sure. Yeah, be delighted to do so. We're a 10-year-old ministry here throughout the nation, running and leading pregnancy centers to save more babies and save more souls. So that's our mission. It's real simple: saving babies, leading women to Christ. Period. And that started with us. Really, it started, Janet, in a prayer closet one morning at 4:30. The Lord just laid on my heart His broken heart for the unborn. He sees every abortion and everyone breaks his heart. He's the one that knits them together in their mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully, intricately weaving them together and cut off by a self-seeking society and culture that puts very little value on the weak and helpless among us. Right. That breaks his heart. And I just asked, what would you have me do about it, Lord? And that started a now 24-year-old journey to the one thing that really works, because if you look at legislation and you look at protest, all features of the pro-life landscape, they haven't worked. Abortion's still legal in all 50 states. Mm-hmm. It's been here for over 30 years. It isn't working. Mm-hmm. Protest doesn't work. But I can say, and as you started the segment here today on your program, what does work is the words of Jesus Christ ringing through 2,000 years of history, where he said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Good. And that's what Preborn does. We just try to help women come to that personal meeting with their baby. And so we started 24 years ago running pregnancy centers, and now we're running and leading them all across the nation. Best practices and how to get a woman in an unplanned pregnancy to call us instead of Planned Parenthood or an abortion clinic. And then introducing her to her baby on ultrasound, and ultimately to know and introduce her to Christ. So that's been our journey. It's just running pregnancy centers and then taking what works in them to all the pregnancy centers that we can reach.
I think it's just wonderful, absolutely wonderful, because that statistic is so jarring, the fact that 80% of women who are able to see their babies in the womb choose life. And I remember that. I remember the very first ultrasound I ever had with my first child. She was about six weeks along, and I saw that little heart, ba-boom, 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 and I just burst into tears. I know that strong maternal pull. Well, tell us a little bit about how the process works, Dan, for providing women with free ultrasounds. How does this all work? Because you, as you said, work with a lot of clinics across the country. How do you do this?
Yeah, well, it really comes down to these young women. 85% of them typically are single, probably 65% or 20 years old or younger.
Wow.
And the best way I can share is with an example of a young woman that came into one of our centers that we run, and she wanted an abortion because she was a pastor's daughter. She was pregnant. Her boyfriend and her were involved without her parents knowing this sexually, and here she is pregnant. She's the darling of the church and the youth group and pregnant. She wants an abortion despite all of her closely held values. She can't ruin her life and face the embarrassment. And gave her a pregnancy test, talked to her about it. She still wants the abortion. She can't face the fire. And then we bring her back into the ultrasound room, and there she has that close encounter of the best kind with the gift of God within her, her own little child. And that changed everything. She says, I can't do this. I don't care what it takes, what I've got to face. So we, you know, she chose life. We obviously had to talk to her parents and work through all of that, which we did. And it's going to be fine. The baby lives, and they're going to, you know, they're glad that they've got an addition to their family. Children are not a mistake. They're a gift from the Lord,
Regardless
of the circumstances. And so we market for abortion vulnerable women. We provide them thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and more thousands of free ultrasound sessions. These are $400 sessions in pregnancy centers throughout the United States. Because of what you said when you opened the segment, listeners that will support an ultrasound. Now, an ultrasound session costs approximately $28 for that 45 minutes. You can underwrite five free ultrasounds for young five women for $140 by simply dialing #250 on your cell phone, #250, and say keyword baby, or you can dial our 855 number, 855-601-2229, 855-601-BABY, and make a tax-deductible contribution to underwrite these ultrasounds that these women so desperately need. If you try to talk her out of it, Janet, you might be successful 40% of the time.
Right.
But if she sees her baby, and as you said, and then you experienced, if she hears her baby's heartbeat, then 80% is the under-promise, over-deliver number. She'll change her mind. And then the pregnancy centers we work with offer diapers and cribs and car seats and maternity clothes and baby food and clothes for the kid for the 2 years after they're delivered, and, you know, practical compassion.
Right.
To these women.
Well, and you think about the statistics that you just mentioned, when so many of these women are so young, and certainly the financial aspect comes into it for them. They're certainly not going to be able in many cases to afford an ultrasound, even if you accept the premise that they would want one in the first place if they're seeking abortion.
Right.
So this is a way to interpose in many ways and to be able to bring the light of reality into the minds of these young moms. And how many pregnancy centers do you work with, Dan? Because I know that you work across the spectrum, but you really have a wide reach.
Yeah, we really are from coast to coast, underwriting ultrasounds, teaching evangelism. We work with hundreds of centers every year, leading and running them. We run centers in the highest abortion counties in the United States. Los Angeles County has over 100,000 abortions in just that county. Every year. And so we try to focus on the highest abortion areas. The highest abortion areas in the country are, in fact, 49% of all abortions in the United States occur in only five states.
Wow.
California, New York, Florida, Texas, and Illinois. Mm. And so the population, the millennials, as well as Planned Parenthood, are gravitating toward major metros. And that's where preborn is, working with centers throughout California, Texas, New York, Florida, and Illinois. We underwrite, Janet, all of the ultrasounds from Miami all the way to Jacksonville, all of them up and down the east coast of Florida, all of them in Washington, D.C., wow. All of them in New York City, most of them in Philadelphia, Atlanta, all of them in Indianapolis.
That is incredible. Yeah. Dan, hang on just a moment. We're going to go to a break, and this is a good time to call 855-601-BABY, 855-601-BABY, and help these women choose life. We'll be right back with Dan Steiner from Preborn on Janet Meffer Today.
Stress is such an ingrained part of our culture these days. In fact, it's almost expected, to the point where if you're not stressed, you might feel that you're not doing enough. This is Jeannie Nigro with Unshaken. It's easy to feel stressed in our world. We go through our days saying, I'm so stressed, or you're stressing me out. But have you ever thought of stress as sin? Stress is just a socially acceptable word for fear. That's right, whenever you stress, you're believing a lie about yourself or God. And when you believe a lie, you give the enemy, the father of lies, ground in your life. So the next time you're feeling stressed, ask God to show you the lies you're believing. When you confess these to him as sin, you'll stop the enemy from gaining ground and you'll be on your way to a stress-free life. For more on how to remain unshaken in a world that's all shook up, go to jeannienigro.com. That's JeanneNigro.com. That's jeanienigro.com.
Hi, this is Janet Mefford. Has your health care become a burden? Are you worried about being stuck for another year and wondering what your options are? Liberty HealthShare could be the solution to your problem. Open enrollment is here, and it could be your chance to free yourself from insurance. Take this opportunity and join Liberty HealthShare. You can finally be in control and have freedom when it comes to your health care. Liberty HealthShare offers an entirely open network, which means you choose your doctors and you choose your hospitals. Liberty HealthShare offers freedom from insurance, meaning no related tax penalties. To find out how you can easily make the change, call Liberty HealthShare today at 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit their website at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. Or call 855-585-4237. We are back on Janet Mefford Today. Thank you very, very much for joining us once again. And I am also joined by Dan Steiner. He is president of Preborn. We are excited here at Janet Mefford Today to be able to partner with them to help women across this country choose life. It is an incredible fact that when mothers who are expecting babies go in for an ultrasound, 80% of them end up choosing life for their children. And that's what Preborn is all about. We're encouraging you today to help provide free ultrasounds. Your gift of $140 today will help provide free ultrasound to five young women. We really need your help. All you need to do is call 855-601-BABY. That's 855-601-BABY, 855-601-2229. You can also go to the website. That would be preborn.com. Dan, we were talking a little bit about the abortion statistics, and you had shared a real wallop there that most of the, or almost half of the abortions, I think you said, occur in five states, and you're there. When these women come in, I'm curious to know what it tends to be like, because if you have a woman who is seeking an abortion and isn't even thinking along the lines of keeping her baby, and then this woman enters a pregnancy clinic, how do you get that woman from her decision to abort into a place where she is undergoing an ultrasound and also potentially hearing about Christ and hearing about how to be saved? How does it work once she walks through the door?
Yeah, it's this is a delicate and really a life-for-life struggle, one woman at a time, one baby at a time, for the lives of these children. Planned Parenthood is extremely sophisticated. This is her 100th year anniversary, 2017. They've been doing this for a long time, and they're really, really good at and have constructed a comprehensive model to fund their nonprofit, believe it or not, even though they've generated over $100 million of revenue, excess revenue in 2016. Nonetheless, they are very good at. And so for us to get a woman to come in that is seeking an abortion to a pro-life, evangelical, born-again, Christian, Bible-believing center, you know, with homeschool moms as counselors and staff, it's no easy task.
Right.
It's the grace of God, number one, but it's also sophisticated marketing. We market, we offer all our services to women for free. We we buy keywords on mobile phones throughout the United States and put up ads that get the women to call if they're in an unplanned pregnancy. And then we say, you know, you may not need that abortion if you're in the process of miscarrying. One out of every three babies or pregnancies end in miscarriage. Statistically, that might be you. Come find out before you have an abortion.
Okay.
And then, you know, just demonstrate to them, I guess our best tool, Janet, is compassion and understanding that we give to these women through our counselors that we train. And they know that they're being cared for, and they'll come in, listen to the truth. We are concerned about their health and safety. So all of these things are tools to get them in front of the ultrasound, which we're trying to secure 60 of these five ultrasound sessions here together with you.
Great.
So we appreciate, you know, your effort here.
Oh, absolutely. And how many women have chosen life through ultrasounds donated by your ministry partners so far, Dan?
Yeah. Well, last year, over 7,700 babies were saved through these free ultrasound sessions that listeners like yours underwrote.
Great.
Over the last 10 years, over 40,000 of them. So it's a lot of babies that have been saved as a result of people simply picking up the phone and doing a very simple, powerful thing, dialing #250 and saying keyword baby, or you might call our 800 or 855 number, 855-601-2229, 855-601-BABY. Or you can go to preborn.com and securely donate as well.
Great.
And this saves lives. It just is the best, really the only tool that's stopping abortion in America are these ultrasounds.
Yeah, and when you say the number 40,000, I'm thinking to myself, that's an entire town. That's an entire town population of babies who have been saved because of the ministry of preborn. I want to give out that number one more time. It's 855-601-BABY, 855-601-2229. And you have the opportunity today for a gift of $140. You can provide a free ultrasound to five young women and save potentially five lives. It's a wonderful ministry. Now, Dan, as you say on your website, the mission of preborn is not just to save babies, but also souls. And I know that you really have at the core of your mission, evangelism. What happens? Tell us how God is using your ministry to bring these women to Christ.
Yeah, that really is our deepest motivation, highest passion. And it's very logical, too. A woman is in an unplanned pregnancy because she's not following God's prescription for how we live our lives and how she handles her sexuality. And so in a hookup kind of a culture that we live in, where casual sex is the norm displayed on so many movies and television and other places in our culture, she needs another voice in the middle of that. So there are 350,000 women that walk through the pregnancy centers of the United States every year. And in our pregnancy centers, she gets a clear and understanding exposure to a Christian worldview, to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Great.
And the words of our chief executive officer, the eminent King of Heaven, Jesus Christ, ring true today as they did 2,000 years ago. She'll know the truth, and the truth will set her free. And so we just share with her the gospel. And so if she receives Christ, she won't be a repeat client. She won't be in an unplanned pregnancy again. She won't be potentially getting an abortion again.
Mm-hmm.
And even more importantly than that, if she is pregnant, raise her child in a Christian home. So the hope of heaven for her and her children are there. What your listeners are doing, Janet, is spectacular here. We're trying to get 60 people here on Janet Mefford to do five ultrasounds. It's only $140. It's 100% tax deductible. And here's the deal. 100% goes to the women.
Yes.
We take 100% of these sponsorships, and we buy free ultrasounds with them. We independently fundraise to meet our overhead. And so, you know, this is a pretty neat deal.
It is.
We haven't mentioned it, Janet, but if a listener will underwrite 5 ultrasounds, we'll send you, as a listener, 5 pictures of 5 little babies, the story of their mothers that came into one of our centers. So you can see, you know, how this works and how your money is spent. Mm. And so 100% tax deductible, 100% goes to 5 free ultrasounds, all by simply going to preborn.com and donating securely, or dial #250 on your cell phone and say keyword baby. And then we've also got an 855 toll-free number, 855-601-BABY, 855-601-2229.
I love it. I love it. And can you speak very quickly, Dan, to the matter of financial integrity? Because I know this is as important to you as it is to me, as it is to our listeners, that you are a rock-solid ministry, that when people are donating to you, as you said, 100% of what you're donating is going directly for the cause that we're telling you about, which is free ultrasounds for young women. But how important is financial integrity to you in your ministry?
Yeah, if we don't have financial integrity, we don't have a ministry. We're a ECFA, Evangelical Council of Financial Accountability certified ministry. We're under the supervision of a volunteer board of directors, so they have no other motive than to ensure that we're doing what we say, which is to save babies with the funds that people give us. And so we're independently audited by an external auditor. All of this is to ensure the highest level of financial accountability according to the Federal Accounting Standards Board of Operation for nonprofit organizations in the United States.
Perfect.
And so, yeah, it's and here's the deal. I had a job before I did this. I was, I had a really nice job, and I quit that to do this.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing this because Jesus told me to do it. And I believe now, he's told, Janet Mefford to be part of the team here and saving lives. And he's saying to the listeners, if you feel like abortion is something you'd like to do something positive, loving, and effective in stopping abortions, well, that's why Janet's doing this today, friends.
I love it. I love it. That's right. And you can save a baby's life right here in America by helping the Ministry of Preborn. For a gift of $140, you can provide a free ultrasound to 5 young women. All you need to do is call 855-601-BABY, 855-601-BABY, 855-601-2229, or go to preborn.com. Dan Steiner with us. Dan, thank you so much for being here. We love what you do.
Our pleasure.
God bless you. And thanks for being with us here on Janet Mefford Today. We'll see you next time. God bless.